哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿，哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿。
Elder Voices, a window to the past, a door to the future.
Ay ya hey ya hey ya hey.
My name is Ardith Mary Wiawana. My maiden name was Ardith Mary Goodhope, but I married to a man named Johnny Wiawana Sr. And my father worked in the dredges where they dig for gold long ago in Deering, and the lady there was a cook named Ardith. That's how I got my name. She was a Swedish woman. That's all I know about my name. I was born in Deering, Alaska. My birth date is February 13th, 1947, and I'm 64 years old. My parents were reindeer herders, so we had to attend school. We were living up at Cape Espenberg. We spoke mostly English over there, and nobody spoke the native language. I attended grade school over there till the second grade. That's when my parents took us out from school, and we just lived at Espenberg while they tended the reindeer herd. It was different back then. We used dog teams. We used stove oil for heating the home, but mostly wood. That was a special time for me because I was living with my grandmother in her own little underground house. I always went with my grandmother and we would gather wood, we would pick berries, we would work on seals together. Then in the winter we would be sure to have things that we collected from the land, you know, whether it was greens or berries or seals, rooks, or seal oil and dried meat. My mother and grandmother did a lot of sewing for family use, like mukluks, parkies, mittens, mainly to use during the cold winter times. But I don't know, never sold anything for like sewing or anything like how it is nowadays. And we used to do fishing before we left Deering, salmon fishing. Put a lot of that away for both us to eat and for the dogs. My dad hunted seals like in the fall time, and whatever he could catch, we would use that. With the reindeer, we'd have to, when we go out with the dog team, we'd always have to round up the herd and kind of bring them back closer to camp where they would be okay, you know, not wander off too far, and bring the herd back together. And next day they'd be all back somewhere again, and we'd have to do that, you know, just round them up again, and especially toward the spring before fawning season. By the time we stay with the herd is like fawning season until the snow is all gone and you can't go by dog team anymore, then they just look after themselves, raising their calves, you know, during calving season. Then they'd come to the beach during the summer because of the heat, the bugs, so we'd still have them around us. We mostly eat from the herd, the reindeer, the dogs too. They eat what we didn't eat. Right after I graduated from the eighth grade, I married my husband, Johnny Wiawana. So during the winter months when it wasn't too cold, we'd go up there and help my parents with the herd and help butcher during the fall time. They slaughtered the steers in the fall that were, they were castrated as bulls in March. And then in the fall time, the steers, they would become very healthy and fat, and those were butchered for sale, either locally or outside of Shishra, Nome, Kotzebue. My parents, when we moved up to Shishmaref, they still did the looking after the reindeer by dog team, and then the snow machine came along, and my father used that to go out herding for the day and come back. And the last time I came from Espenberg with my parents, with the dog teams and snow machine, was probably in 65 or so, 1965. I had my own family now, and my husband was working at the native store as a manager. So my responsibilities were raising our kids together and living in Shishma. The Shishmaref village was within boundaries of where my father's grazing land was for the reindeer. So he decided to bring us to Shishmaref to attend school and brought us here in the spring. We came here with my family. My family and I came here May 8th, 1950. By dog team. I was about maybe 9 or 10. There were lots of dogs all over. There was no electricity. I can remember the only people that had electricity were the teachers and the pastors. When we got here, there was excitement in the village. They said a lady just had twin babies, a boy and a girl. Came to Shishmaref, all the kids spoke their native language and we didn't. We spoke only English. So it was kind of hard trying to communicate with each other. Yeah, we started school in the fall and attended until in the spring before we'd have to go back by dog team again to our reindeer camp. Yeah, that's how our schooling went. We actually start school after the ice froze over, you know, in November, right before Thanksgiving. Come by dog team, travel with herd and all, reindeer and all. I was 15 when I got married to my husband Johnny, and it wasn't my choice. My father gave me away to this man. I thought I was going to high school the coming fall, but instead he gave me away to become his wife, and that's how it was, like an arranged marriage. Not very many people do that nowadays, I don't think, but that's how it happened for me. None of my friends that I knew were in the situation that I was in, you know. They all went off to high school, and it seemed like I'm the only person I knew of my parents giving me away. Fifteen is pretty young, you know, when I look at it nowadays. Still, there are still kids going to high school, and for me, I was disappointed that I didn't go to high school with my classmates, but I couldn't go against my parents' wishes, so I learned to love him and just never changed since then. We've been married for 49 years, trying to reach 50. We didn't have our first child until a year and a month later. So that was in 1963. Then we had other children between the first and the fourth. But one was stillborn and the other died like after 12 hours. Out of those, we had seven children. They're all grown up now and have their own families. My husband and I, we both took care of them, and my parents too. They were a lot of help to us when we were first married. Then my mother died in 1978, then my dad died in 1979, and it's kind of like they prepared us to become self-sufficient and not depend on them or other people to raise our children, and that's what we did. I'm so blessed to have a husband that we do a lot of things together. Even we're a little older now, we slow down, but we still do the things that we love to do and prepare the foods we like to eat. We like to put away salmon when we go upriver to make dry fish, dry salmon, and salt some, and we salt some herrings. And then in the fall time, our sons hunt for us the seals that we like to eat. Each season has its own kind of foods. You know, it doesn't stop here. It'll be something else, you know, like within the whole year, it's a continuous thing. When the season is ready for it, we go out and gather it and put it away for the winter. We store fresh walrus under the ground and cover it, and it'll ferment during the summer months. So in like before Thanksgiving or Christmas, they dig that out and it's real fermented, and we eat that. Besides, during the spring season, like May, June, we ferment the flippers of the bearded seal, and it's rendered in its own with oil under the ground, and we eat that. Or for instance, we catch herring in the fall time, and we ferment those herring in either a seal poke or in gunny sacks, and within a maybe month or so, they're ready to eat. And that's pretty much fermented things I'm talking about that I know we still do today. When we came to Shishmaref long ago, there were hills down, way far down there, you know, low-lying hills. And as the years went by, we'd lose grounds pretty soon. There were no more hills, and we were living on the west side of town. The ground was eroding like maybe 30, 40 feet away, and they had to relocate. We were one of the houses they relocated over there, but that was a big change in how the land was compared to back then. There was more land on the beach, but now all that is gone. There's nothing. We still remain the same regardless of the erosion here. It's just that we're running out of space. Even to just this morning, my husband and I went to our cache down there, and we noticed that, wow, the land dropped maybe 4 feet or more. We could see where it reached one of the uprights for our meat rack, initak we call it. It's ready to come off there before maybe last month we went down there, there was lots of ground, but we didn't realize that the ground even washed away just within the past few weeks. At first, when they talked about moving Shishmaref, it sounded like the thing to do, but now that it's actually happening, some of the elders feel like back then they felt like we didn't need to move. And now that it's happening where the land is, you know, gradually washing away, or most people that I know that I talk to, they say it would be nice if we could move inland a little more to a safer place. That way we would have our own way of life continue on. There's just no funding available to move the town, so I don't know if we're gonna be here for a while or. There's quite a few people that have cabins for berry picking and fishing upriver. Maybe some people would move there, and I don't know what would happen to the rest of the people, like the school, the clinic, the church, the general stores, post office. I can't even think of it. I was already a mother. I was 16 years old when they had this thing called Neighborhood Youth Corps, where they would hire young people between the ages of 16 and 21 to do some kind of work in some of the organizations here in Shishmaref. And I applied and was so surprised that I was selected. I first started maybe 1964. And they didn't give us a choice. They said that you'll be working in the school, helping the teachers, working with children. And I did that. I enjoyed it. While my mother and grandmother and dad took care of my baby, even I was breastfeeding, I did it just during the summer months, like May, June, July, those 3 months. And we were getting maybe $3.50 an hour and 6 hours a day. So that caught my interest of working with children. So as the years went by, I worked in the school as a special ed aide or a teacher aide. And at the same time, my husband was working at the Native store as a manager. So we both had jobs and we raised our children, like I said, with the help of my parents and his mother. In the school, we worked with the BIA teachers and we did most general things like reading, math, science, spelling, from what we call the beginners, which were today is preschool or first grade. I worked with all ages or all grades, from like beginners, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, helping the teachers from 8 to 5. That was my first real job, a teacher aide, but they called it instructional aide back then. I did that between times that I would have a child. I would stay home and take a year or two off and then come back to work, and did that until 1998. I retired in May 1998. Working with children with special needs, that's the most rewarding thing I enjoyed doing with children, because it made me feel like I was helping someone to learn something in life that would help them through. And I remember with my one student, I was so proud of him because he couldn't write or express his own feelings on paper, and I was so proud of him when he first wrote his sentence. I can't remember what it said, but anyway, I was so proud of him. I enjoyed that so much, working with children with special needs. Then in 1981, my husband and I had our first daughter, and she was born deaf, hard of hearing. I kind of understood what deaf meant, because I'd never known about anybody that was deaf. And when they told me that she would be deaf and you would have to learn sign language, and they said, here's your book, you learn all these signs and you teach them to your daughter. So that's what I did. It was just something that, you know, when you really know your children and it just comes natural when you teach them how to talk or say words, it just was normal for me. I didn't think of it as, this is so hard, it's driving me crazy. No, not like that at all. It was something that just came natural for me, and that's just something that I didn't think once that I'm not gonna do this or can I do this. I didn't have any thoughts like that. My main thing was just help her learn to communicate and express herself, and she learned sign language, and then she learned to speak, so she can speak very fluently right now. Now she's 30 years old. She finished high school, and she's still trying to get a job, but she's mostly living on her own, and I'm proud of her. I became a grandmother when I was 34 years old, so I have maybe 13 or 14 grandchildren, one great-grandchild. It might sound strange or like you're doing a different role, but it still feels like I'm mothering. I don't know how other way to put it, you know. They may be my grandchildren, my great-grandchild, but to me it still feels like mothering. I don't know why it seems easier. Maybe because you're learning as you go along with being a mother at first, and then when you become a grandmother, it seems easier, because I don't know why, but it's so much easier being a grandmother than a mother. Maybe I would say because of what you learn with your child as you grow and they grow with you together. For me, faith was an important part of my life, because I always went to church with my grandmother, and as a child, you know, you never know until you look back later in life what that meant to you. So to me, having faith is important in my life, but it's different for my children nowadays. They don't seem to have the faith that I had. You know, the way I connected with my grandmother like that, it's not the same with my children. Like, we don't share the going to church together or praying together. It's different. My three youngest children, they're more involved with coming to church with me or coming to choir practice with me than the older children. Now that I look back, I would say that maybe it had to be with how I was when they were growing up. Maybe I wasn't as didn't attend church as much as I do later in life. Nowadays we have so much bingo and pull tab, all kinds of games, TV, computers. That's what's happening in our village, and that takes so much away from people if they just spend their time there rather than spending time with their family. I don't know how else to explain it. My grandmother, my mother, and my dad, those were the three most important people in my life as a child. Because when I did something good and they told me that you did this good or you did this right, that's nice, you know, made me feel good. So I would say that it came from my grandmother and my mother and my dad. My grandmother, she was a very godly person. She prayed every day. We went to church every Sunday, and that helped me in my life. But I didn't know it back then, you know, I just always went with my grandmother, and it wasn't like, I don't want to go to church. It was, I enjoyed going with my grandmother, and at the same time, I think she was passing on her way of life so that it would be easier for myself, for me to teach my children.
You've been listening to Elder Voices, a production of KNOM.
If you are an elder or know an elder who would like to participate, call KNOM at 907-443-5221. Or write to KNOM Radio, Elder Voices, P.O. Box 988, Nome, Alaska, 99762. Thank you for listening to Elder Voices.